Jesus said, "Beware practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." This is, in some ways, a night of contradiction. As we put ashes on our foreheads, ashes that all can see when looking at us, Jesus warns us not to practice our piety before others in order to be seen by them. If we do, Jesus tells us, our reward is that. Our reward is being seen by others. Jesus is telling us, I think, that intention matters, that our motivations are important. If we undertake acts of piety, if we put ashes on our head tonight so that others can see how holy we are, then we receive the entirety of our reward in being seen, in being accounted a pious, holy person. If instead we come this night to have ashes placed on our foreheads as a sign of our desire to deepen our relationship with God, to make a right beginning of a holy Lent, then our reward will be far more profound, far deeper, even perhaps transformative and life-changing. Ashes are an ancient symbol found in Hebrew scripture. They symbolize mourning for sins, grief, repentance. And it's in that spirit that we have this night the opportunity to receive ashes, to come before God to mourn our sinfulness, to confess and repent our sins. Tonight we acknowledge that we are not perfect, that we fall short of the glory of God. We sin. We do things that alienate us from God, our neighbors, and even ourselves. Our relationships become damaged, perhaps fractured. And so this night, we are invited to come before God with our penitent hearts, confessing the ways that we have strayed since last Ash Wednesday. We are invited to honestly and humbly examine our lives, to open ourselves by repentance. We are invited to confess and to repent and to accept God's forgiveness lovingly offered us through God's generous mercy. For Scripture tells us that God knows great joy when one who has sinned confesses and repents, that God rejoices when one who was lost is found, when one returns after wandering. God's arms are wide open to receive the penitent sinner, to welcome the one who repents, who returns to the fullness of relationship that God desires to share with all humanity. Trusting in God's loving forgiveness, we confess and we repent this night. But we don't do that to feel shame or to call ourselves unworthy or to punish ourselves. We do so to turn again to God, toward that path of holiness that God calls us to walk. And so the ashes that we will wear are a symbol of our penitence and of our desire to move into a restored and deepened relationship with God. The ashes will be imposed shortly with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." These ashes are a symbol of our mortality. We come before God, the one who is eternal, and remember that we are mortal. We are creatures of God, made in God's image. We are not God. We will not live forever. These are perhaps startling words in our culture, which is so focused on youth. All around us are messages that we hear regularly about the value of youth, of holding on to youth. Don't age, as though somehow we can prevent that from happening. We live surrounded by a culture that ignores the reality of death, that denies death, that tries to push death off as far as possible. And yet we this night are marked with ashes and given a call to remember our mortality, to remember that we need God, for we are not God, to recall that through baptism we are marked as Christ's own forever, baptized into his death and also baptized into his resurrection. And through Christ, we are set free from sin and death, from the temptations and the lies of the world. We're called into a journey as fully human creatures, as beings who, yes, will die, but yet who trust that in God we are safe for eternity. And so this night we begin our Lenten journey, this period of 40 days, with the opportunity to accept and understand this season as a gift, to come and heed God's call to return, to reorient ourselves, to put our relationship with God as the priority of our life, at the center of our lives. But how do we do this? There are, I think, in tonight's gospel, clues to answer that question. Jesus mentions three practices that are central to the Christian life and to our Lenten journey. And the first is giving alms, caring for those in need, reaching out to those who do not have enough. The heart of almsgiving is caring for our neighbor. It's rooted in the reality that everything that we have, that we possess, has been given us by God as a gift. And God creates all that there is, everything in this world, and trusting it all to our care. From what we've been given, we're called to then give away a portion, to give that away in thanksgiving to God as an offering. Not only does this practice help transform the injustices of our world, but it changes us. In giving away what we have, it calls us to trust God to provide what we need. Giving alms is the antithesis of hoarding, of holding on tightly, of keeping that hold on what we have been given, and instead to see ourselves as stewards of gifts from God. Jesus also mentions praying. And just as he did regularly, so we are called to be people who pray daily, setting aside time to come into God's presence. And we do this perhaps with words, our own, or composed, such as the prayers we find in the Book of Common Prayer. But we also do so in just being, in coming before God in silence, in listening for God's word to us, dwelling simply and quietly in God's presence. Part of this call to prayer is also the call to read and to study God's word, Holy Scripture. Prayer and study of God's word provides a solid foundation for our Lenten journey, as well as a foundation for our lives as followers of Jesus. And in tonight's gospel, Jesus also talks about fasting. This may perhaps be the most challenging for us. Those of us who are middle class have an abundance of things available to us, including food, in and out of season. Fasting in this land of plenty is not something that many people talk about doing, and yet, to give up what we may want, to resist our desires and our cravings for a period, or even for a season, shows us the power these things have over us, which we can live in an unexamined way. Giving things up for a time may provide an opportunity for transformation in how we live, and fasting may stir up in us a deeper reliance on God, a deeper trust in God's provision. All these practices, whether during Lent or not, Jesus calls us to do privately, not for show. We ought not to seek the approval and the affirmation of others, but instead the transformation of our lives, the deepening of our relationship with God. For in these practices, we are storing up treasure in heaven, as Jesus says. We are doing nothing less than allowing God to transform us, to transform our hearts. In undertaking these disciplines, we are choosing what matters, valuing what leads us closer to God. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so this night, I invite you to keep a holy Lent, to accept the ashes on your forehead as a symbol of your repentance and penitence, as a symbol of your mortality and your need for God. And doing so is a statement of trust in God's loving mercy and compassion. And so this night, may we make a good beginning of Lent. May we come to know a joyous Easter, that foretaste and that promise of life eternal that God desires to share with us. And through our Lenten journey begun tonight, may we be drawn deeper into the heart of God, into the divine life of the Trinity. Amen.